You're listening to the Transport for the North podcast.
Welcome to the Transport for the North podcast. I'm your host for this session, James Barber. I'm Public Affairs and Engagement Officer for the organisation. Today we are talking about our revised strategic transport plan, which is currently out for our statutory public consultation. And for this podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by some of the leads behind this project. So we have Lucy Jakes, who is Interim Head of Policy and Strategy. We've got Brian Sloan, who's led on the Economic Foundations. Peter Cole, who's our Head of Decarbonisation. And Tom Jarvis, who's our Principal Social Research Officer. So, Lucy, if I pass over to you, just give a quick overview of the STP consultation.
So as you said, James, we're currently out consulting on our second strategic transport plan, and that's a 12-week statutory consultation we're running. So our consultation started at the back end of May, and it'll run through to the 17th of August this year. And there's kind of five key aspects really to how we're approaching our consultation. So the first is we're doing some TFN-led events. So we're hosting three face-to-face events, and they've been taking place in Manchester, in Leeds and in Newcastle. And then we're also hosting a virtual event as well online. And so far we've had over 170 attendees registered for those events. So a really good response rate so far, and some really interesting insight emerging from the stakeholders that have attended. In addition to that, we've got a virtual consultation room, which provides all the materials that sit alongside our plan and sets out the questions that we're asking the public as part of our consultation. We've also, as a team across TFN, been going out and speaking across the region at a number of our partner events. At the moment, we've got 20 scheduled throughout the consultation, but that's ever evolving, and each week we're being asked to speak at more meetings. But the types of things we've been speaking at are chamber meetings, meetings of our local enterprise partnerships, so engaging with the business community, but also with politicians, members, and officer briefings in our partner authorities. In addition to that, we have been busy behind the scenes organising an all-party parliamentary group meeting, which is where we're going to go to Whitehall and brief MPs around our plan and try and garner some support for it. And then the final kind of aspect to our consultation at the moment is the work we've been doing around a citizens panel. So TFN has a research platform of 500 residents across the north that broadly represent the demographics of the north. So we've been utilising that to explore a couple of key aspects of our plan. So particularly the place-based aspect, and also some right share targets we've set. So thinking about behavioural change and what might be needed to help develop and deliver the plan in the long term. So that's kind of where we are with the consultation. It's ongoing. We'd welcome views from listeners, from partners, as we head into that 17th of August date before we look to review the content and finalise the plan ahead of taking it back to our board later in December this year.
Thank you, Lucy, for that. It's great to hear, obviously, how the consultation is running, and it's been a really effective consultation so far. So just to kick it off on our discussion, I'd like to ask how each of your areas feeds into the STP. So who'd like to go first on that one?
In terms of decarbonisation, I guess most directly, the STP has adopted our near zero emissions by 2045 target from our decarbonisation strategy as one of the three strategic ambitions. And I think it's also important to see the STP as a progression, actually, from our past decarbonisation strategy. We've done quite a lot of work in the meantime around EV charging infrastructure, hydrogen, looking at evidencing the benefits of modal shift and managing car vehicle mileage. And that evidence, alongside a pretty strong indication from partners about their increasing ambition in this area, has meant that's allowed us to be even bolder in terms of the decarbonisation ambition within the actual STP. And of course, the STP itself is a stepping stone on the way to our next decarbonisation strategy, which is due in 2025. And then I'd say the final thing is everything we do as TFN, or nearly everything we do, aid decarbonisation. And we have a tendency to explicitly signpost decarbonisation, but actually, you know, our rail teams are in their long-term rail strategy, they're looking at increasing patronage on rail, increasing modal shift to our rail system. Our major roads team, they're looking at redefining our approach and our narrative to new road building to prioritise sustainable travel modes. And these are all really important aspects that actually, you know, are fundamental to decarbonisation.
Brilliant. Thank you, Peter. So now if I pass over to Tom Jarvis, how do you feel that with Peter's work on decarbonisation and your own work on the social impact of all this work, how do you feel that they link and the work that your work feeds into the FTP?
Thanks, James. Our work on transport and social exclusion since our 2019 STP has really expanded the evidence base on the scale of the social challenge evident in the north of England, finding that 3.3 million people in the north live in areas in which there's a high risk of social exclusion, specifically because of issues with the transport system. And what that robust evidence base based on engaging with communities across the north has enabled us to do is first to develop our Connecting Communities strategy, which sets targets for reducing the size of the population affected by TRSC across the north, and then subsequently to feed that ambition into our next strategic transport plan. And complementing the work that Peter described, part of that is ensuring a fair and just transition to a zero carbon transport system and ensuring that that transition delivers on the needs and aspirations of diverse communities and diverse areas across the north of England.
Brilliant. Thank you, Tom. And then finally, all of the work that we're doing with the FTP is underpinned by a lot of the economic evidence from the MPIER, which is why I'd like to pass over to Brian now to just give a bit of an overview of how your work on that building, that evidence base, that factors into the FTP.
The 2016 Northern Powerhouse Independent Economic Review underpinned our original strategic transport plan and looked at transforming the economy of the North. We've updated that work, and as you've heard, those themes of social inclusion and decarbonisation run right through the heart of the new independent economic review that we've now updated and re-quantified in economic terms to underpin this new strategic transport plan. And it's that ambition that is a key part of transport connectivity, which will enable us to achieve that transformational vision of the independent economic review.
Brilliant. Thank you, everyone. So just to sort of wrap this all up and establish how all of these areas of work link together, I'll pass over to Lucy Jakes again to give us that sort of overarching view of how each area of work that's gone into STP is going to transform the North.
I mean, it's really important that this strategic transport plan brings all of these work areas together, and it really does. You know, they are the three strategic ambitions that underpin our STP and flow throughout the document, really. So those three pillars of economic, social and environmental outcomes are really critical to what we're trying to deliver. And that's reflected in the vision in this strategic transport plan, which is broader than just transport. It's also reflected throughout in terms of the transport interventions that we're looking to bring forward as a result of this plan this time around. There's a lot more emphasis, rightly so, on thinking about local connectivity as well and how we support our partners in that space. So thinking about mode shift, for example. So how do we support people in getting out of their private vehicles and using improved public transport, active travel, cycling and walking, etc. So, you know, the work around decarbonisation, the work around transport related social exclusion has been really key to identifying why we need to support that transition and how we support that transition. But also thinking about those economic outcomes. Again, one of the big shifts in this plan is about thinking about how we make that economic case for the North. So absolutely, as Brian said, you know, it's still really important for the North to address that productivity gap between the north and other parts of the UK, but also it's about how we do that in a just and fair way, as Peter and Tom said. So thinking about the distribution of growth is really critical this time around. And to achieve that integrated transport system fit for the future, we've got to think holistically. So the work that my colleagues on this podcast have talked about there has been really instrumental to helping us identify those interventions I've talked about, and fundamentally will help us make a stronger case to government for investment in all of the transport systems and infrastructure that's going to be needed to help deliver this plan up to 2050.
Brilliant. So thank you everyone for your contributions today, and it's great to hear all the amazing work that's gone into this STP. So as a reminder, the consultation is still going on until August the 17th, and you can find out more details and leave your feedback via our website, which is transportforthenorth.com/STP. And thank you very much for listening to the podcast today.
Thanks for listening to the Transport for the North podcast. Don't forget, you can subscribe on Spotify and SoundCloud so you never miss an episode. You can find us on Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook for all our latest updates. And join us on our website, where you can find all the latest news and sign up to our All Points North newsletter.